used to flirt with freedom, for everybody knew our name. We became their favorite secret, love for love and not for fame. Oh, when I was your user, your FaceTime abuser, dose after dose till we crashed. Now they bet on our game, say we'll go down in flames. It's too good, or it never could last. But oh, we was undercover till it overflowed, overexposed. Oh, chained our love together, never took it slow. And now we know life on overload. Don't we always make a show of love? Let that cell phone ring, let that bluebird sing, let that message say unread. Let them talk about us, let them talk too much, while we rule the whole world from my bed. 'Cause oh, we was undercover till it overflowed, overexposed. Oh, chained our life together, never took it slow. And now we know life on overload. Don't we always make a show of love? Life on overload. Must we make a spectacle of love?
Yes, 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 you know what time it is. I am Tim Rocky here on the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. It is Tuesday, 5:30, a wonderfully bluesy Tuesday, as it would be. A nice little flash flood we had there. I don't know if you're in downtown Palmer like I am, but sitting over there at Vagabonds with the pre-show latte, and holy cow, it starts coming down. Cats and dogs sprinted from Vagabonds over to the studio and got drenched in about 10 seconds. All right, so weather is not what we do here. We do sports, news, jazz, blues, the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. We got a great show for you today. Going to talk a little bit of baseball, some professional, some less than professional. We're going to talk a lot of football, as that's what's in the news. It's getting to be fall. You know, leaves are falling. It's fair weather, and the fair starts Thursday. Reminder for all those of you that either live in the vicinity that I live in or work in the vicinity that I work in, and know that that traffic is not an option right now. Fair starts Thursday. I'm excited. It's great for Palmer. 294,000 people will walk through those gates. It's a great economic boost, great way to show off our city. Also, if you are a member of the city in this community, you know, keep your eyes peeled, because 294,000 people through the gates is more than we usually have in a two-week span. All right, let's get to the sports, the news, the jazz, the blues. That's what we're all about here. By the way, bumping a little bit of 16 Bar Blues by Stephen Noel Lang. We got Thelonious Monk coming up later. We got some Drake beats. Got more John Legend, because I was just feeling John Legend. It was a Tuesday, and I was like, you know what? This is good music. You know what I like to do on my show? I like to play good music. So, that's happening. Big news. Big news. Got to turn off the music because listen up. Kyrie Irving is now a Celtic. Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder are now Cavaliers. All right. You're paying attention? Good. Let's bring the Jazz back. Blockbuster trade, as Kyrie over the summer had said, you know what, LeBron James, you're a great human being, you're a good player, but I like to shoot the ball a lot. I like to dribble it for about 30 seconds, and that doesn't fly in your offense because you're so demanding of all your other players. Excellence and passing and vision and team play. I just want to go out there and ball, man. Come on. So, you know, he cried his way all the way to a giant paycheck in Boston. He has 3 years left on his contract. Following that contract, who knows where he goes. Isaiah Thomas will be a free agent next June, although the steal of this deal is Jay Crowder, the wily veteran who is tough, who is gritty, who plays great defense. He was the LeBron stopper on the Celtics when they played in the playoffs this past season. So, big trade. And not only that, but mark your calendars, because October 17th is the opening of the NBA season. Celtics at Cavaliers. Yes, there is a God. Oh, we get to see the beginning of that rivalry as a, you know, I hate you because you used to play for me rivalry to open the season in a little more than a month. So I'm excited for that. That's basketball. Let's be done with basketball. All right, baseball time in the Little League World Series. I'm going to pull this up real quick. Little League World Series happens this time just about every year. We have no teams from it in Alaska. That has never happened, but you know what? It could happen. So, in the international pool, the team in the lead is Mexico from Guadalupe Trevino Kelly from Reynosa, Mexico. That is Guadalupe Trevino Kelly Little League. They are 3-1. There is a 2-2 team from Venezuela, a 1-2 team from the Dominican Republic. So, last night, great moment. When these teams get together and they play Little League World Series baseball, it's always an excellent display of sportsmanship. 12-year-old kids cannot, by themselves, go out there and they're not going to throw helmets at each other. They're not going to have brawls. They're not going to throw at each other. They get to prove their skills as baseball players, and along the way, you get to see what excellent young people they are. There's always great coverage by the ESPN family of networks, and they covered American players and Latin players to having conversations with Google Translate, sitting there on their phones, typing something in, and then handing it to the next person, saying, you know, do you understand? You get what I'm saying? That was great. So, also, you know, a little tidbit, in the Juniors World Little League World Series, so this is the Majors Little League World Series of kids 11 and 12, predominantly all 12-year-olders, and then some 13-year-olders in there because it's a weird birthday cutoff. But in the Juniors Little League World Series, which is 13 and 14, and I believe some 15-year-olds, they play on a big league diamond, right? So they play on a real big, bad baseball field. They still bring the same kind of game, you know, just gritty, tough going out there. There's a video clip out there. You need to see it. This kid starting in deep center field, and this massive human being sitting at the plate just mashes the ball. It's a line drive. It's definitely going out, but it's staying low. So the kid takes, you know, a couple of hard steps and just supermans over the fence, grabs the ball, crashes into the ground behind the fence, gets up, boom, ball. You want to see it? You want to see it? You want to see what I did? Look what I did. Look what I did. I'm awesome. So that is my early favorite for Web Jam of the year. It was an outstanding play, and that always happens when you get these teams together for the Little League World Series. You're going to see some great baseball. So what I've been trying to get to for about 4 minutes, and I'm running out of time to do before my song ends, is in the Little League World Series, Venezuela is playing the Dominican Republic, and the pitcher from the Dominican Republic gives up a walk-off single. So the guys from Venezuela, you know, they mob each other, they're celebrating, they're happy, and the pitcher from the Dominican Republic just collapses, and he is, you know, just beside himself, and he cannot believe what has just happened. And he has let his team down, he has let himself down, he is, you know, his heart is broken. And I really resonate with that feeling. I've been the one that gave up that hit more than once. And so the first people out there are the coaches from Venezuela. The opposing team's coaches come out there, and the first thing they do is they're like, dude, you okay? You know what? You had a great game. So then they're going through the line, right? They're shaking hands because that's what they do. They shake hands after the game. Both teams, not just one team shaking each other's hands. Both teams shake hands. And the kid that had the walk-off hit comes up and says, you know, hugs him. And he just commends him and he consoles him and he says, you know, what a great, I don't know what he said, but is a great moment in sportsmanship to see, and something that makes me so glad that the Little League World Series is broadcast on national television and people can see these examples of human beings as 12-year-old baseball players out there playing baseball. It's amazing. One more thing before we go to some more John Legend. The Major League Baseball teams known as the Pirates and the Cardinals played a game in Williamsport, the first ever professional Major League Baseball game in Williamsport. It's called the Little League Classic. And they, too, after the game, both teams shook hands. So, you know, my Cardinals didn't win, but that's okay. All right, let's kick it to some John Legend. I'm out.
What can you buy with the ultimate sacrifice if you don't believe in the afterlife? Oh, I still grieve remembering what you were like. Now what good is a dream when the dreamer dies? Some are better than good, greater than great. Some are misunderstood and they get told to wait by all of the greatest, greatest of all, are chasing the fading star. Who'll be the latest, latest to fall? We're marching into the dark. What if you like was just to live day to day, and after you're gone, the world stays the same. Ooh, why should you love what you're gonna lose anyway? Oh, I've imagined 100 ways. Some are just no good, some will let it just fade, some are misunderstood.
I hate to cut John Legend off, but we gotta go. So Bartlett won 20, pardon me, Colony won 33-27 over number one. Bartlett's service beat Palmer 27-6. If you would like to see more on those games, you can go ahead and I did some reporting for the Frontiersman that you are free to go check out. So if you want to do that, that's online. I will be this weekend at Wasilla versus North Pole. All right, I'm out. I caught up with the Colony Knights head coach and a couple of players after their 33-27 defeat of the previously number one ranked Bartlett Golden Bears. Now, while Bartlett used a lot of clock, ran 48 times with their number one running back, 71 times overall, and for more than 400 yards, the Colony Knights won. They had short scoring drives, capitalized on secondary errors by throwing the ball when no one expected them to, and made some defensive stops in the fourth quarter when they really needed it. Colony, the new number one football team in all the land, the great land, I should say. So after the game, to get some quotes for my story for the Frontiersman, I went up and sat in on the meeting of coaches and players celebrating their victory, and then got a couple of interviews after all the fun and shenanigans happened with head coach Rhett Magner, running back John Pomerenke, and quarterback Parker Kaiser.
Mental toughness. Execute when you're tired, hell's bells. We wear black. Way to execute down the stretch. Showed a lot of heart, a lot of determination. That's what Colony football is all about. I'm proud to be your coach. We finally turned the corner. We got punched in the face early, and we responded. It was awesome to watch. It was awesome to be part of. Seriously. That's a really, really good football team you just beat. Really good team. We'll probably see them in the state championship.
You get the key defensive stops, and then for Pomerenke, I mean, they know you guys need to get some yards to keep the play going. Yeah. What was it that he did on the end around differently than he did earlier in the game to get those yards?
Nothing. We blocked it correctly, honestly. We got the formation that we liked kind of in the second half, that we kind of had some success with. And we just told our two wideouts, hey, you got to seal the edge. Mm-hmm. If when in doubt, you got to put the ball in your best player's hands. John Pomerenke is one of our best players.
You guys won the turnover battle, which is usually how you win games. Their running attack seemed to be on second and third down. They give you Edwards for 3 yards for a first down. You guys seem to do more of your work on first and second down.
With
some bigger runs, and then your passing game was sparse enough that they weren't ready for it, but it was on.
It was.
I think he was, like 4 for 8 tonight?
I think so, yeah. He's right at about 50%.
So, as a quarterback, not just a runner, because he was great as a runner tonight, too, but as a quarterback, what does he add to this offense?
He's smart, and we put so many plays on his shoulder, and he's checking at the line, and he's calling protection, and he's changing plays and directions, and when he's on, he's on. Mm-hmm. When he's making the right decision, it's completely the right decision, and it showed right there for a touchdown. He made the right call, he made the right throw, and we don't need him to throw the ball 30 times a game.
Yeah.
We need him to run the offense, and he runs the offense very well, and he takes his shots when he gets them.
So last two questions. Is it running against guys like, or playing defense against guys like Hessinger, Pomerenke, and you're getting some...
It was at this point in the interview that Magner took a celebratory whipped cream pie to the face and continued the interview. What a champ.
I tried.
You're mine, Parker.
Manager! You tell!
Magner would, in fact, get his revenge on the senior quarterback, giving him a whipped cream pie to the face later. And I also had to interview him with whipped cream down his face. They just like celebrating over there. Here's the completion of my interview with Magner. Post whipped cream.
Going against guys like Kaiser, Hessinger, Pomerenke in practice, is that what prepared you for the running attack they brought? Because that was wicked with the speed and the size and the shiftiness that they had.
No, we can't. We really can't. You can't replicate that in practice. We tried, mm-hmm. but you really can't replicate because their dudes are big, fast, and strong. Mm-hmm. And we have some speed, but we're just nowhere as big mm-hmm. as they are, which that's just our style. That's what we got.
And then you guys get 2 big stops down the end against the number one team. You said in the meeting, we're probably seeing them in the state championship. What's this mean early in the season, you guys knocking off a well-coached, big, strong, fast team down the stretch in the fourth quarter?
It just goes to show that all the work that we put in the offseason, all the mental toughness stuff that we harped on all throughout the offseason is paying off. And granted, this is only week 2, but that's a really good thing going forward because we didn't have that last year. Mm-hmm. when we got down, we didn't respond very well. And we responded really well against the number one team in the state, which is very encouraging.
After Magner, I caught up with senior running back John Pomerenke, who had 215 yards rushing on the ground, as well as a 36-yard touchdown reception. Here's my interview with the senior running back.
All right, fourth quarter, you guys got the lead. When you see that ball go up and you see Parker right under it, what's your reaction as far as you guys coming up big on defense?
Man, we preach consistency every day in practice, and our DBs do a heck of a job of staying deep. It was just another play. We were all doing our job, and Parker made a play on the ball. And, man, the joy that ran through all of us was just awesome because we know it sealed the deal.
I don't know if this is Mayweather-McGregor, but you guys traded punches there. You know, first 2 minutes of the game, and you guys each trade 50-plus yard touchdowns. That was crazy. So what kind of confidence did you guys have seeing them run off those 90-yard touchdown runs, 80-yard touchdown runs, and then coming back and scoring yourselves in three or four plays? What kind of confidence does that give you guys?
I mean, it gives us a lot of confidence. I think they wouldn't even have been in the game if they wouldn't have had those long runs. So once we shut that down, we knew we were good. But we came into the game, we were trying to punch them in the mouth, and they came out and punched us in the mouth right in the first play. So it was all just about recovering and bouncing back, which is something we practice every single day, which Coach Magner instills in us, and it was just another day.
So you guys just beat the number one team in the state, but I'm sure you know that there's going to be some things that you get to improve on. What do you get to improve on for next week, and how good does it feel to knock off number one at home?
I mean, it always feels good because, man, those guys in Anchorage, we got a target on our back from them. They think we're just Valley kids. But we're here to make a statement. We're here to prove something for ourselves. And knocking off the number one team was just one step in the journey.
After speaking with Pomerenke, I went over to get some quotes from Parker Kaiser, senior quarterback, went 4 for 8 with one touchdown through the air and also had 86 yards and a touchdown on the ground.
In practice, going up against guys like Pomerenke, like Hessinger, how did that prepare you for the running attack that they brought? Because that was wicked what they had.
It prepared us good. They have bigger linemen, yes, of course, but Our guys are always mentally strong, and we know just to go hard on every single play. We knew this is one of the biggest games of the season for us, and it was just good.
You know, there's that one pass that comes off Schultz's hands, but you completed a bunch of your passes tonight at a very high rate on a very, very wet, rainy, cold night. How much credit do you give to your receivers, Pomerenke and the others, for hauling in the passes you were chucking up?
It was great focus by them. With this rain, it's been wet all night, and it's just great focus by them just to look it in and before running.
So fourth quarter, fourth down, and you see that pass come up, and it's short. What's going through your mind at that point?
Just focus on the catch. I don't want to drop that because I know it's we got to get that. So.
And then, you know, here's what I told Pomerenke just about word for it. I don't know that it was Mayweather-McGregor, but you guys were trading blows. So first quarter they come out, they score right away. And then you guys answered right away. And that's what it was like all game. What kind of confidence does it give you not, you know, having to take your time, having to go drive after drive in a deficit and going back and tying the game and taking the lead right away after they scored?
It's a big thing, but our team is big on mental toughness, and all of our preparation in the offseason led up to games like this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, same question I asked Pomerenke. I'm recycling here. I know you guys are going to work on something this week. You're not perfect yet. You got to improve. What do you improve on? And then how good does this feel knocking off number one at home?
It's just the little things. We need to execute on those. And then it's great. That's a really good Bartlett team right there. So that's big for us.
Parker's dad led the Knights in a very enthusiastic cheer.
I love Coney football!
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 Heck yeah! Let's go!
We'll be right back.
So as the game ends, one of the managers for Colony comes up to the booth, and Mr. Looney's up in the booth. He's running the public address system. And so she goes, "Hey, as soon as the game's done, could you please play Hell's Bells? Please, please. And he's like, "Okay." You know, he's frustrated because it's tough being a PA guy. You know, it's not all that easy. Congratulations, Colony, now the number one football team in all the land. So here are some stats from that game. John Pomeranke ran for 215 yards. He also had a catch of 36 yards for a touchdown. Parker Kaiser, the other kid that I interviewed, had 106 yards passing. Let me check that real quick. 103 yards passing. Pomeranke also threw a pass. They did a halfback pass. It didn't work. 103 yards passing. He was 4 for 8 with a touchdown. Receiving, Jake Hassinger of Colony had 2 catches for 27 yards. Pomeranke had the 1 for 36, and then Jones had 1 for 40, and then rushing. So in this game, it was funny because Bartlett had 3 plays. They had the right up the middle, they had the off the edge, and they had the way off the edge. And they had one guy for right up the middle, and he got the ball 48 times. You heard about that, Jonte Edwards. And then they had Cargill, who he was the off the edge guy. He was like, "All right, I'm going to go to the side, but then I'm just going to go straight forward." And he also had 200 yards. And then they had the guy that, you know, was going to go straight to the sideline. And they pretty much, if they handed the ball to one of those guys, that's the play that was happening. So Cargill had 14 carries, had more than 200 yards. Edward had more than 200 yards. Fudge had only 5 yards rushing, but then also had 21 yards receiving on 3 catches. Yes, his name is Fudge. Rushing for Colony, Jake Hassinger had 5 carries for 22 yards. Caden Jimenez had 5 carries for 10 yards and the touchdown. Jones was 2 for 5 yards. Kaiser had 7 carries for 86 yards. And then Pomeranke did the most of it with 7 carries for 215 yards, as I said before. So this game was crazy. They started off and, you know, number one against number two, Bartlett at Colony, you know this is going to be a good game. And so they started off, Jonte Edwards takes the first, oh yeah, get it. Sorry. Jonte Edwards takes the first carry of the game, 62 yards. Now, he is giant. He is a large human being, and he likes to eat defenses and just run them over. So he doesn't, you know, break away from everybody, but he runs 62 yards. 5 plays later, he scores. Colony takes over on downs. Their defense doesn't work early in the first quarter. Then Parker Kaiser's like, "I got a short field. I'm going to make this happen." Screws up the sideline a little bit. Hands ball off to Jimenez. Kaiser, with only 26 yards to go, is, you know, like, "You know what? I'm just going to take this myself." Goes to the corner, scores a touchdown. They get another one from Edwards. It's tie ball game at halftime. They come out, and Colony and Bartlett both really could not do anything on special teams. And it was crazy. It was a ridiculous game. It was so much fun to watch. Great job to both of those teams, but only one of these teams can be number one, and that is Colony at this moment. All right. I need to be done on the radio, so hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to check out more of my reporting, I'll be at Wasilla. Palmer and Colony, 7 o'clock. At Colony this weekend on Friday. See ya.
Believe he had any. Oh my God! Oh! Shut it down! Let's go home!
It's a wrap, dude.
Man, that is a wrap.